to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio sure has his plate full as he tries to navigate the growing discontent of New York's citizens and the NYPD. But assuming he gets back to business as usual, one of the bills he will have on his desk to sign would ban the sale of rabbits in the city. Passed by city council last week, rabbits would still be allowed to be kept as pets, but no more new sales would be permitted. The reason for the ban is the growing population of unwanted rabbits in the city's shelters. So this made me wonder, what is it like living with rabbits? Why do people want them, and how do you take care of them? And how is it different from, let's say, living with cats? Well, to answer these questions and more about rabbits, I'm very pleased to welcome Dr. Anne Martin, Executive Director of House Rabbit Society. Welcome to the program, Anne.
Thank you so much for having me, Lori.
Anne, is there a rabbit overpopulation problem, and do rabbits end up in shelters just like cats and dogs?
Sadly, there is. Sadly, rabbits are the third most surrendered animal after cats and dogs to our country's shelters. And you especially see that in urban areas. Here in the San Francisco Bay Area, some of the individual shelters are seeing as many as 300 to 500 rabbits a year coming through their doors.
Wow.
And sadly, with numbers like that, it's hard to find adopters fast enough. And so, sadly, rabbits are still being euthanized in our country's shelters every day. Because there are too many coming in, and homes can't be found fast enough.
So, Anne, where do all the rabbits in the animal shelters come from?
Yeah, this is a question we get asked a lot. And I've done a lot of outreach events where I take rabbits from the local shelters out to the community, to pet stores, that sell supplies to showcase them for adoption. And people are often shocked to learn that rabbits are in shelters and can't imagine where they could be coming from. Sadly, there are still a lot of pet stores that are selling rabbits. There are a lot of pet stores. There are a lot of feed stores in more rural areas that are selling rabbits. And there are a lot of breeders that are selling directly to customers using Craigslist or websites, phone books, other marketing materials, and they're reaching out to customers directly. So there are still a lot of places where people are buying baby rabbits that are unfixed and not getting necessarily all the information that they need to make the decision if a rabbit's really going to be right for them and right for their household for the lifetime of the rabbit.
So there's a lot of rabbit breeders. And are there also mills for rabbits like there are for puppies?
Yeah, unfortunately, if people really saw the conditions that some of these rabbits were coming from that are ending up in the pet stores or the feed stores, they would be shocked, and it wouldn't be something that they would want to support. Stacked cages, battery cages like you might think of for chickens, they have the same kind of battery cages, sadly, for rabbits, for breeding them, for showing, breeding them for meat, and breeding them for pets.
Mm. And is there a problem with rabbits being given as gifts or prizes?
Yeah, so in a number of states, it's illegal to give rabbits as prizes at carnivals. In some cities, in states where it is legal, there are cities that have taken it upon themselves to pass laws on that issue. People that are bringing rabbits home on a whim, whether it's a gift for someone or as a carnival prize, they're not really thinking about the lifetime of the rabbit. Rabbits live 8 to 12 years, which is similar to a big dog. So you really want to be thinking 8 to 12 years ahead. And if you're getting a rabbit as a gift for someone else, they're not able to make that decision about committing to 8 to 12 years for an animal. I personally know someone who received a baby rabbit as a Valentine's Day gift, and we found out about this rabbit because someone was calling to schedule spay-neuter at our spay-neuter clinic that we hold here at House Rabbit Society once a month, and the sister ended up having the rabbit because her sister, who originally got the gift, broke up with the boyfriend and never had wanted the rabbit in the first place. So, this is a common problem when rabbits are given as gifts that the recipient of the gift is not necessarily choosing this commitment, and then the rabbits end up unwanted.
And what does House Rabbit Society do?
Yeah, so House Rabbit Society, we are a rabbit rescue and education organization. We have 31 chapters in the United States and 5 abroad, Italy, Singapore, Canada, Australia, and I'm missing one, I'm sorry. But we have 31 chapters as well as our headquarters here in Richmond, California in the San Francisco Bay Area. And every day we are working with the local animal shelters and we're working with the public. We rescue rabbits from the euthanasia lists of local shelters and we bring them in, we get them spayed and neutered, we get them any medical care that they might need, and then we help to find them loving homes, homes where people are making a commitment to the rabbits for their lifetime. So every day we're doing rescue work and every day we do education work, both individually with people who are thinking about adopting rabbits, as well as through our website, rabbit.org, our journal, which goes out in the mail to all of our members. It's our House Rabbit Journal. And then all of our chapters, we hold events and classes and work with local institutions like vet tech schools to present materials. And we work with a lot of humane societies and animal shelters to help train their staff on working with rabbits. So we have this two-prong approach, both rescue and education.
Right. And given the overpopulation of rabbits you described just earlier, you obviously promote adopting and not buying from breeders and spay and neutering, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. So there are so many wonderful rabbits that are just waiting for you at rescues and shelters. There's absolutely no reason to go to a breeder. And when you adopt a rabbit from a rescue or shelter, you're saving their life. And you also save the next bunny because it opens up a spot. So
right.
Here, the day that a rabbit gets adopted, we can turn around and take in a rabbit that would otherwise be euthanized.
Talk about rabbits as pets. Do they make good pets? And who should or shouldn't get a rabbit?
Yeah, absolutely. So rabbits are fantastic companion animals. They are pretty similar to having a cat around the house. They use a litter box. It's great to have an enclosure for them, like a puppy exercise pen where they can be when you're away from the house or when you're sleeping. And then when you're at home, you can let them run around just like you would, a cat or a dog, and they can run around the house and be part of the family. They're herbivores, so their diet is really fun. It's a big salad every day, and then they eat hay. They eat tons of hay, either orchard grass or Timothy hay, and then they just get a little bit of pellets every day. So the leafy green salads, my bunny and I get to have the salads together, but they're just really fantastic companion animals. They're very social. They love to be petted and love interaction with people, and they do love to have a companion, like a rabbit companion as well.
And where are good places to learn more about the proper care of rabbits?
Absolutely. Our website, rabbit.org, has tons of information on how to take care of a rabbit in an indoor home setting. A lot of people might remember back to when they were a kid. They knew somebody that had a rabbit in the hutch in the backyard. And our understanding of rabbits' behavioral needs, emotional needs, veterinary needs have come just light years from then. And we have tons of fantastic materials on our website, all about how to take care of a rabbit and do the very best for them that we can. We also have our journal, which comes out in the mail a couple times a year that gets mailed out to our members, and it's only $20 a year to become a member, and people can do that right from our website.
And you mentioned rabbits like the companionship of other rabbits. Do they like living with other companion animals like dogs and cats?
Yeah, so cats and rabbits get along just fine. We hear from a lot of people that rabbits will actually boss their cats around, which is kind of amusing considering rabbits are prey animals and cats are carnivores. And so it's always kind of amusing when we hear that the rabbit is bossy with the cat. But rabbits and cats get along just great. And with the dogs, rabbits can get along fabulously with a gentle, well-trained dog. With dogs, you do want to be a little bit more careful, though, because rabbits are prey animals. Dogs that have a strong prey drive wouldn't be a good match to have in the same household with a rabbit for the rabbit's safety. But you can find out more about doing dog-rabbit introductions on our website. And the important thing is just taking it really nice and slow and making sure that the rabbit is in a protected enclosure when you first introduce your dog.
Ann Martin, Executive Director, House Rabbit Society. Don't go away. You're listening to Animals Today. Dr. Lori Kirshner, and I want to thank you for joining us on Animals Today. Each week, we explore the wide variety of important issues concerning the welfare of animals, how people treat them, and where they fit in our society. From whale protectors on the open seas, to lawyers in court, to scouts helping their local shelter, join me to get the latest on animal welfare news, stories, and events from around the world. And visit us on Facebook to join the conversation. That's Animals Today every week, right here on the station, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, make sure to visit us at animalstodayradio.com, where you can listen to any of our previous shows free. Animals Today brings you the highest quality, most up-to-date information about all animal welfare topics. Much of our support comes from the nonprofit group Advancing the Interests of Animals. Check them out at aianimals.org. That's aianimals.org. And thanks for listening.
Every day in the United States, tens of thousands of puppies and kittens are born. Unfortunately, there aren't enough homes for all these cats and dogs. One unfixed female cat and her offspring can be the source of more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. One female dog and her unfixed offspring can produce about 67,000 puppies. Too many cats and dogs are unwanted anywhere by anybody, so they end up being neglected or abandoned. Millions of healthy pets are killed in shelters annually. In the U.S., on average, 70% of the animals that enter the shelter end up getting euthanized. Fortunately, there is good news. There's a new answer to this dilemma. We can help to stop killing these animals by having our pets spayed or neutered. If you want a new pet, how about adopting one? You can rescue a cat or dog and save a life.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at aianimals.org. That's the letter A, I, animals.org.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
How deep in debt are you? $10,000? $15,000? Maybe even more? And every day that goes by, you know what happens. Your debt gets larger and larger and larger. Well, if you've had it with your mushrooming debt problem and the stress it is causing you, make this free call today to the Debt Solutions Network. One quick no-obligation call is all it takes for one of our partner companies to show you how they can help you get out of debt. So if you have $10,000 or more in combined debt and you want to learn how you can solve it, make this free, no-obligation call now.
800-814-5035. 800-814-5035.
If you are in serious debt, you have to get out of it and fast. Call my friends at the Debt Solutions Network now.
800-814-5035. 800-814-5035. Call us 24/7. 800-814-5035.
Welcome back to Animals Today. Dr. Ann Martin with House Rabbit Society. Ann, where has the sale of rabbits been banned?
Yeah, so we're looking forward to the hopeful ban of the sale of rabbits in pet stores in New York right now. But L.A. already has banned the sale of rabbits in pet stores, as well as San Francisco, Oakland, Alameda. So there are a number of communities in California that have already done this. In the cities where this has already gone into effect, we are seeing fewer rabbits coming into the shelter system, which is the goal. Rabbits are wonderful companion animals, but there are so many right now that are in rescues and shelters that they are still being put to sleep. And, you know, with these kinds of bans, we are optimistic that the reduction in sales will end up with fewer rabbits in the shelter system.
And why is it important for rabbits to live inside?
Yeah, rabbits are very vulnerable to predators when they're living outside. We get a lot of really sad phone calls here at House Rabbit Society headquarters. A lot of times it's people whose rabbits have been killed by raccoons. They think that the space is secure. They think the hutch is secure. We've heard sad stories about neighborhood dogs that have jumped the fence, and they were hoping that their rabbits would be able to run to a safe place in time if something ever happened, and the rabbits weren't able to do that. They're also vulnerable to hawks. So predation is a really big issue with rabbits living outside. Rabbits are also very sensitive to heat and cold, and so they can get heat stroke in the summertime if they get too hot, or they can die of cold in the wintertime. So living outside, they're very vulnerable to these things, as well as to issues with parasites like mosquito-borne diseases or fleas, fur mites, all of these kinds of problems they're more susceptible to when they're living outside.
What are the main...
I was just going to add really quickly that when they're indoors, rabbits, you also can really see their true personalities, and they're very social animals and want to be part of the family. So aside from just their physical needs, for their emotional health and their happiness, it's important for them to live inside as well.
What are the main household dangers for rabbits?
Absolutely. So the big one for rabbits who live inside is electrical cords. So you want to cover up your electrical cords if you live with a rabbit, or put cord covers on them or move them behind heavy furniture that your rabbit can't get behind, because it can nibble on these, they could electrocute themselves, and they could also, you know, cause a fire or another hazard with your electrical cord. Not to mention they're expensive to replace if you've ever had to replace your laptop cord. Those are pricey. So that's a big one. You also want to move up any plants that might be down low where your bunny might nibble on them, because rabbits don't do a good job of distinguishing between things that are safe for them to eat and things that are not safe for them to eat. So when you're letting them hop around in your house, you want to move any house plants you have up, but that goes for the garden as well, making sure that if you have plants that are toxic to rabbits, that your rabbit is not going to have access to the plants. So you can look up those plants that are toxic online as well.
And you mentioned the problem of parasites for rabbits. What other common medical conditions or problems do they get?
Yeah, so the things that we tell adopters to look for is if your rabbit ever stops eating or stops pooping, it's an emergency. Rabbits are grazing animals that are constantly nibbling on hay all day long, and their gut system is constantly moving, so they're also constantly pooping. And so if a rabbit ever stops eating or pooping, you offer them their very favorite treat, their favorite thing to eat, and if they don't want that favorite thing, then we recommend packing them right up and taking them to the vet. It can be faster and simpler to get them out of gastrointestinal stasis if you catch it early on, but rabbits can actually die within 24 hours if they stop eating and stop pooping. Mm. So that's a big one.
Yeah.
The other things we tell people to look for is basically any discharge coming out of your rabbit. So nasal discharge, drooling, something coming out of the ears, eye discharge, or diarrhea. Any of those reasons would be a good reason to go see the vet.
And do rabbits require vaccinations? And at what age should they be fixed?
Yeah, so rabbits in the United States don't require any vaccinations. For European listeners, it is a little bit different. There are several vaccines that are recommended in Europe, but in the United States, there are no vaccines that rabbits need. as far as spay and neuter, we recommend as soon as the boy's testicles have descended, they are old enough for neuter. That usually occurs about 12 weeks, but it varies kind of case by case just a little bit. It could be 11 weeks, it could be 13 weeks, but as soon as you see testicles, the boys are ready for neuter. For the girls, you want to wait 4 to 6 months. That's really the best time for rabbits to be spayed. For female rabbits, critically important for them to be spayed because they're at high risk of uterine cancer if not spayed. Up to 80% of rabbits will get uterine cancer by age 6 if they're not spayed. So it's really important for rabbits to be spayed for that reason. The other thing that's important to know is that when you're looking for a veterinarian for your rabbit, most vets only see cats and dogs and are not specialized in rabbit medicine. So you can check rabbit.org for the local chapter of House Rabbit Society near you. All of our chapters have listings of rabbit veterinarians in the area. And if you don't have a chapter that's near you, you can always call around to the veterinarians in your town and ask them who they would recommend for rabbits, because what you'll often find is that there are one or two vets out there that specialize, and everybody, all the veterinarians know who that is. So if you call around, they'll all recommend you to a couple places. But having a vet in advance of a problem is a great idea. So you know their hours, you know how to get there, you have a relationship with them. It's always a great idea to have that before there's a crisis. We recommend just an annual checkup every year, well bunny checkup, and then you'll know when there's a problem. You'll have the perfect person with all the records that you can go to.
And how widely are rabbits still used in medical testing and in testing of cosmetics? And I presume the society opposes such activities.
Absolutely. It's pretty heartbreaking. Rabbits are one of the largest number of animals that are used in animal testing in the United States. And rabbits are used not only for cosmetics testing, but also household products like cleaning products, as well as for medical research and medical devices testing. So there are a number of different kinds of laboratory research and testing that rabbits are used for.
And in the last minute, how can people help rabbits?
Absolutely. So there are a number of ways that you can help rabbits. If you're interested in fostering or adopting, you can go to petfinder.org. You can go to rabbit.org, find a rabbit rescue in your area, offer to foster, meet the rabbits they have up for adoption if you're interested in adopting. But it doesn't just stop there. You can help rabbits with your everyday decisions about household products and your cosmetics. Look for the Leaping Bunny. Choose cruelty-free cosmetics and household products. Everything from your soap to your laundry detergent, all of these things can be tested on animals, and there are varieties that are not. So look really closely at the packaging. If it does not say not tested on animals, then it means that it is tested on animals. So those are some of the things you can do. We're always looking for volunteers here locally, and I know all the shelters across the country where there are rabbits, they're also looking for volunteers to help with everything from trimming nails to doing adoption counseling. There's so much need for help for the rabbits in our rescues and shelters. So I hope that everybody listening will at least go and check out our website, rabbit.org, and all the rabbits that are up for adoption through all of our chapters.
Dr. Ann Martin, thank you.
Thank you so much, Lori, for having me on.
Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirshner from the animal welfare organization Advancing the Interests of Animals. Do you ever wonder what you can do to be nicer to animals or to help them? Here are a few things you can do to show your appreciation to our furry friends. You could donate to or volunteer at your local animal shelter. Walking the dogs and playing with the cats is a meaningful way to make a difference in the lives of homeless animals. You could be a foster parent. If you have the extra time and space, becoming a foster parent is a wonderful way to take some of the burden off our overcrowded shelter. shelters by giving an animal a loving place to live until their forever home is found. Increase your appreciation for wildlife by providing a welcoming space for butterflies, hummingbirds, and other creatures, or by simply driving cautiously through areas populated by wild animals such as deer. You are acting with compassion. These are only a few ideas to encourage you to continue thinking about your personal kindness towards animals. This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. Please visit us online at aianimals.org.
Attention, if you've been classified as a high-risk driver due to DUI, DWI, or tickets for aggressive driving and are required to get expensive and hard-to-find SR-22 auto insurance, then you must listen to this message because we can help. Serenity Group Insurance is the largest insurance company in the U.S., specializing in SR-22 auto insurance and focused on serving the needs of customers classified by the state as high-risk drivers. We help people get back on their feet by providing easy-to-get, low-cost SR-22 insurance that anyone can afford. If you need SR-22 insurance, or if you have it now and are paying too much, you need to call us today for your free quote. Our specialists are standing by waiting for your call. We understand people make mistakes and are here to help by making SR-22 insurance easy to get and affordable for everyone. The call and the quote are free. Call us now at 800-676-5216. That's 800-676-5216. Again, 800-676-5216. 800-676-5216.
If you're struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? Fast Track Student Loans can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop collection calls, and stop seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and get your student loan payments down to as little as $25 a month based on what you can afford to pay. One quick 10-minute call could help you solve your student loan problems. So call right now. Not available in all states. Payments may vary based on income.
800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. That's 800-685-0129.
The holidays are almost here, so head into Guitar Center for the season's best deals on guitars, drums, keys, live sound, DJ, and more. Deals like a Yamaha acoustic guitar for only $89, microphone or instrument cables 3 for $20, or a Williams 88-key digital piano for just $149. So whether you're buying for someone else or yourself, music is a gift. Give it, share it, love it. Expert advice, the best selection, and unbeatable prices. This holiday at Guitar Center.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS that you can't pay? Call now for immediate help. 866-657-8517. At Community Tax Relief, we help consumers like you. If you take on the IRS alone, you could be facing levies, liens, even wage garnishments, personal or business tax issues. If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more, they will aggressively come after you. Protect yourself and your family today from what the IRS can do to you. Call now. 866-657-8517. They can freeze your bank account, even garnish your wages. Our expert team of tax professionals can solve your tax problems once and for all. Call now for a free 5-minute tax debt analysis. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517.
So much has changed since GEICO started saving people money over 75 years ago. We weren't attached to our smartphones like today. Smartphones didn't exist. If you wanted to talk to someone, you just hollered out your back door. Hey, Darla, want to go steady? No chance? Okay, then. We had no privacy. But hey, with GEICO, we always had good car insurance.
GEICO, saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa! What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa! Pussycat, pussycat, I've got flowers and lots of hours to spend with you. So go and bother your cute little pussycat.
Welcome to Animals Today. If you're the guardian of cats, you probably have had to manage and deal with their picky eating habits. Cats and their diets must be one of the most challenging things we cat lovers deal with. For instance, one of our four cats, Uzo, despite our best efforts, will only eat two foods, one being a very inexpensive, highly processed dry kibble, and the other being tuna, specially marketed for cats. So we're always wondering, should we continue trying to change her diet to something that might be healthier for her? In fact, we have a lot of questions about feline nutrition. I bet you do too. So to address some of the mysteries regarding what our cats should be eating, we are pleased to welcome back to the show Dr. Srinu Lingreddy, who practices at VCA All Creatures Animal Hospital in La Quinta, California. Welcome to the program, Srinu.
Thank you so much, Lori. It's good to be here.
Srinu, what diet does a typical indoor cat need to be healthy?
Well, I got to admit, there's many options out there, and what works best for one cat may not work best for the other. But the key guidelines that I say across the board that we're discovering, probably over the past 10 to 20 years we've been studying cat nutrition, is basically trying a diet that is high in fat and protein. What we're discovering, and really we've kind of missed for many decades prior, is that cats are true carnivores. They must eat meat, and they must eat a well-balanced meat diet in order to survive and to do well and to thrive. And what we've discovered, and I typically recommend to my clients, is canned food actually is probably one of the best commercial diets that's out there. It's just fully much higher in fat and protein, and it's a lot better for cats as they get older to processed diets. There's many long-term benefits that we've discovered. People always ask about dry food and how well my cat is doing on dry food. Why would I change? Well, you know, I mean, there are some cats who refuse to eat anything else, and you just have to give them what they want and what works for them. But we've got some guidelines that we can talk about and why we do this and why what we discovered.
Srinu, what do you think are the most common misconceptions people have about nutrition and cats?
I think what they do realize is that cats have always been eating dry food their entire lives. Or people have had them for many, many, many decades and have always relied on dry food because, one, it's convenient, it's very easy. There is a kind of popular belief that dry food is really healthy for their teeth, which I'll get into that as to why that actually may not be true. And it's just cats are always grazers. They love to eat all day long small amounts, and that actually is not necessarily true either.
So let's talk about my picky cat, Uzo, who only wants to eat cheap, dry kibble that we refer to as cat candy and tuna.
Right, and that is a tough situation to deal with. You know, I always tell people one thing you have to respect is that a cat will be very finicky, and they will prefer one diet over another. Not across the board, but most cats are like this. And you cannot ever let a cat starve or think, well, if I stop feeding them to try a new diet, they'll eventually get hungry enough. Cats are one of the species that actually develop a very serious condition of their liver when they stop eating. It's called fatty liver syndrome or hepatic lipidosis. It is a major problem that can be fatal, and it can stem from any reason that a cat stops eating, whether it's a behavioral issue because they're finicky or another serious illness. So no matter what we consider for cats to try to change their diet or get them to eat, we have to remember that that is the most important thing to avoid. Yeah, you know, when a cat, your cat Uzo, of course, loving the candy dry food, well, you know, sometimes you just got to give in. There are other diets that may work, but it's tough. You're going to be spending a lot of money and wasting a lot of money. You know, tuna for people, unfortunately, is not nutritionally complete. We do know that cats actually who are fed all tuna diets from people food actually develop neurologic problems later in life, and that's why that's a big no-no. You know, some form of a commercial or some other diet that is nutritionally complete is always the key. But to always respect the cat's desires and needs and to never, never, never let them go starving without eating.
Can you delve into more specifically why wet is so much better than for cats than dry?
So the key concept about canned food is that it is actually a higher fat and protein content, which sounds kind of counterintuitive, but it actually is very, very healthy for cats. Cats are true carnivores. You know, the one thing we have to remember is cats out in the wild will eat nothing but small mammals, bugs, birds, lizards. They really don't choose to eat grains. It's just not a normal part of their diet. And unfortunately, dry food is a dehydrated form of grains, meats, added vitamins, minerals, things like that that are typically anywhere from 30 to 60% carbohydrates, which is actually very unnatural for a cat. And so what we find is cats that do eat dry food and graze all day long tend to become obese because their bodies don't know what to do with the carbohydrates, and they immediately turn it into fat. And this is, you know, very, very convenient to be able to feed dry food and let cats free feed, but unfortunately in the long term there's a lot of problems that we see.
Yes, and I would guess that there's a higher water content in wet food than dry food as well.
That is one of the major benefits that we see. There's so many conditions like kidney disease and actually urinary issues with urinary tract infections, urinary crystals, urinary blockages. And because cats, when they are actually, they've done a study that has shown that when they're fed an all-canned diet with no water available versus a cat that's fed dry food with an unlimited access of water, the cat that's on the canned food will typically be better hydrated than the cat on the dry food. It's just not a natural drive to drink water in cats. Well, not, I should say not in all cats. Some cats are great water drinkers, which is to their benefit. And as a result, we see so many health benefits just by being better hydrated on a daily basis.
So how do you suggest transitioning a cat from a dry-only food to a wet food?
This is a tough, tough challenge. Now, if a cat is open to eating canned food, sure, it may actually be quite easy. The problem comes from the cats that are used to having free access all day. They're used to being able to walk into a certain room where their food bowl is and knowing there will always be food there. So if we're limiting that and we're taking it away, a lot of these cats get pretty upset. So you not only have cats that sometimes will just stop eating because they're upset with the way we're changing their diet, but they actually wake you up in the middle of the night and it's not good for people. They're not getting any sleep. So the first thing I always tell people is, well, if they're really, really going to be insistent about being a free feeder and being able to have access to food all the time, well, there are these food bowls that actually put out food on a timed basis. And the first thing I tell people is, well, we need to start limiting it. And, you know, I don't want to shock the cat, but we do need to say, okay, you're going to have food available for these 4 hours, maybe twice a day, three times a day, and then take the food away in between. And the next step is to limit that to 2 hours. And do this over a period of weeks, so we're not shocking the cat system. They start to learn that, oh, food isn't going to always be scarce, so maybe I only need to eat during these 7 times when it comes out. And their bodies do naturally adapt over time. Eventually, then, when you get to a cat who's comfortable with eating food, the food is out for about a half hour to an hour, and then it's taken away 2 to 3 times a day, then you can slowly introduce canned food and actually mix it in little by little. I usually use quarters, like a quarter of the new food, a quarter of the canned food, and then 3/4 of the dry food that would be fed up that amount at that time, and doing that very slowly again over about a week or two. And so this is actually a process that could take a month or two to get a cat to transition to a new diet or to go from dry food to canned food.
Srinu, when I'm reading labels on cat food products, what should I look for?
That's a tough question. Unfortunately, when you look at dry food versus canned food and you look at all the contents, the way that the food is reported is actually not standardized as well as we'd like to. So people always tell me, well, the protein content in this dry food, it's actually really good. It's really high compared to the canned food. But you have to remember, when they label these diets, it's all on a dry matter basis versus a wet basis. There's a lot of things that can be very confusing. So I actually tell people it may not even be worth it to look at the ingredients, the percentage-wise. But when you look at the actual ingredients themselves, of course, it's about the quality of the proteins that you see in there, the quality of what's being added, what is the main source of protein. And so those are the kind of things that if people know, especially their cat is more prone to eating such a diet versus another, well, maybe, like for example for Uzo, try to see if there are some seafood diets out there since he loves tuna so much. It may be a good option to try. That's about the only limit that I tell people to look at, really, because it really is very difficult. Sometimes it's almost like comparing apples and oranges. when you're looking at all these different labels, they're really not standardized as well as we'd like them to be.
Very good. Srinu Lingreddy, thank you so much for appearing on Animals Today again.
Oh, thank you so much for having me back. It's such a pleasure.
Temperatures climb. Please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at aianimals.org. That's the letter A, aianimals.org.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you can make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? Yes. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, you can make almost twice as much. Going back to college is now easier than ever. There are select online colleges that provide laptops to their students. In fact, there are thousands of college programs on your laptop. You can go to college anywhere and everywhere right from a laptop. Call My College Laptop and you can find hundreds of programs from accredited colleges and universities nationwide. Start a new career in law enforcement, business, information technology, healthcare, and hundreds of others. Call My College Laptop to find an online college that will provide you with a laptop. In no time at all, you could double your earning potential. Double your earning potential. Call now. 800-610-9070. That's 800-610-9070. 800-610-9070.
Are you worried about losing your home to foreclosure? If you've been threatened with foreclosure or receive legal papers from your bank, you have approximately 30 days to respond. If you do not respond, you could lose your home. You have rights. Act now to protect your rights. You can stay in your home. Many times you can even modify your loan. The bottom line is you can get past this, but you must act right now. If you've been served by your bank and you're worried about losing your home to foreclosure, now is the time to fight back and save your home. Time is limited, so call the professionals at National Foreclosure Defense right now.
800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. That number again is 800-708-7922.
Has your life changed? Are you now in a situation where you need health insurance? Here's some simple advice. Call our health insurance hotline right now. This free service will do all the work for you. Shop the health insurance marketplace and find the plan that best meets your health insurance needs. Don't get lost searching for plans on your own. Let a licensed agent help you for free. According to a report on CNN Money, Almost half of those eligible for subsidies are paying less than $3 a day for bronze or silver plans. Remember, under Obamacare, most Americans qualify for health insurance. So get ready to let us do all the work for you and find out the best health insurance plan for your needs. Call this number now.
800-659-7975. 800-659-7975. For your free health insurance quote, call now. 800-659-7975. 800-659-7975.
Welcome back to Animals Today. Make sure to check us out at animalstodayradio.com. There you will find all our past shows. You can listen to them right there, or you can check us out on YouTube. We have got the audio from all the previous shows being uploaded onto YouTube, so you can listen anywhere you want. AnimalsTodayRadio.com. We are sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals, a non-profit animal welfare group, AIAnimals.org, and they are into a bunch of interesting things too, so please visit AIAnimals.org. Also, of course, both of those on Facebook and anywhere you want to be. How's that? Hey, Lori.
Hi, Peter.
How you doing?
That was a good pitch.
Did you see that the video of that dog outfitted with those 3D printed half circle bouncer leg extender things?
Yes.
That's the video of the week, I would have to say. So you've got this sort of medium sized dog born with deformed front legs. And getting around okay, seems somewhat happy, you know, doing okay. But then an expert who's able to make some specialized prosthetics, which are basically sort of a D-shaped, custom-designed, 3D-printed devices get strapped onto the legs. And then you see the video of this dog happily running for the first time. It's really the most incredible thing.
Wow, I know.
Yeah, and so it just is a sign of where we're going in this sort of technology for people and animals. And the plan, I understand, is to let the dog get used to this prosthetic and then gradually make them a little larger, a little higher, so he can assume a normal gait and get his back parallel to the ground. He's still facing down a little bit, but he is running, and it's just the most incredible thing. So check that out. I challenge you to look at this video, not smile. I just will have to share this story with the listeners. In Russia, the tax collectors will come to your apartment apparently and ask for payment. So that's doesn't really happen in the States, but apparently there's a story of a tax collector coming into the apartment, wants $100 and something. Equivalent of, and the occupant says, don't have it. And then the tax collector sees his rare cats, and he wants to sort of confiscate the cats in exchange of payment, or hold them hostage until the payment is made. Well, at that moment, the occupant finds the money and pays off the tax collector, because he does not want to part with his rare cats.
Are these exotic cats?
They're exotic cats.
Okay.
They are specially bred, and there were like a bunch of them there, family.
Okay.
So these cats were not nationalized. But they had it. There was a price on their head. Anyway, things could be worse. Things are getting pretty bad for SeaWorld. The latest chapter is that the CEO, Jim Acheson, is stepping down. He announced that just the other day. It's been a tough road for SeaWorld. The revenues are down significantly. Attendance is down. In fact, overall revenue for the year is down 6% and attendance down 4.7%. So it's getting to be a tough ride there. They just announced a bunch of layoffs as well. Plus, I will remind the listeners, there is a lawsuit, we talked about this previously, that has been filed claiming that the owners of SeaWorld misrepresented the effect of Blackfish and how it would possibly hurt the business related to stock offerings and stock, right? So they're in a world of trouble, and it looks like the momentum is really, really building for that. On the other hand, good news out – well, that's good news, but even another flavor of good news is in Mexico, the legislature has passed a bill to ban the use of animals in circus performances. Isn't that incredible?
That's incredible.
That's right.
I didn't know there were circus performances in Mexico.
Oh, they have circuses and they use animals, but soon, assuming the president signs this bill, which has been passed by both Mexican bodies, then the circuses will have to list what animals they are in possession of and allow them to be distributed. They'd have to get rid of them. So it's a pretty tough life to be a traveling circus animal, as you know. So that's a real step. And the UK and the United States should look toward this as a model, don't you think?
Don't you find it strange that Mexico is the model to this?
Yes, I sort of find it. Yes, we do find it strange.
Okay.
We'll get there. You know, in the States, the TEAPA, which is the Traveling Exotic Animal Protection Act, was reintroduced this past summer. That would end the use of wild and exotic animals in traveling circuses. Representative Jim Moran reintroduced that. So we'll let you know what comes of that. And sadly, one of the remaining northern white rhinos has died in Kenya. This male, Sonny, died of natural causes. He was 34. And really, it's just a matter of time before this subspecies dies off. There's only six of them remaining. And there's just one more male who could potentially breed. So this species this group is just going to die off.
That's so sad.
Yeah. Fortunately, the southern white rhinos are still around, and they are being seriously poached. So you can look into that and see who's trying to protect those southern white rhinos.
Thanks, Peter.
You bet.
And thank you for listening to Animals Today. This is Dr. Lori Kirschner encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals.